From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast. Back with another 49ers Studios Podcast. I'm Joe Fan, joined at 49ers HQ with linebacker Eli Harold. Eli, what's up, man? How's the offseason going, man? It's good to have you back on the podcast.
Offseason's going great. Me and my wife just recently found out we're pregnant, so...
My man. Congratulations, brother.
Yep. Yeah, man.
That's exciting. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But exciting.
Yes, I'm excited.
I imagine that kind of shifts your perspective on some things.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, going into year four, this is it. This is where it all happens now from here. So I'm just trying to, you know, use that as extra motivation to get to where I want to be.
I've told you this before. I think we chatted about it last time we had you on the podcast. And, you know, I have like this affinity for the draft class that you were in because I showed up literally a week before. I came over from Nashville for my 1 year with the Titans. And so you guys were kind of getting started as I was getting started. And so it's kind of been fun to go through these years together. And so tell me where you're at right now. Where have you been this offseason? Obviously, you decided to stick around. You're working out here every day. You're in the area. You know, what's your approach been to this offseason?
I took the whole month of January off. You know, the season kind of beat me up a little bit as far as my wrist. Both wrists were pretty banged up. So I just told myself, let's just take the month of January off and then see where we go from there. I started back training in February. Hitting it hard, and ever since I've been getting going. Me, Defoe, Ronnie Blair, Dakota, a couple of us been Eric Magnuson, a couple of us been training together here, and you know, just getting in shape, ready to go, man.
I love to hear that. I know fans love to hear that. Where's your body at right now? I think you, and probably a byproduct of having so many different coaches, your body's kind of been all over the place. I remember you came back year two and you were super beefed up. You looked like you were about to win a World's Strongest Man competition. I mean, you looked like a Greek god. And then maybe you decided that you didn't need all that weight, didn't need all that muscle, and then you trimmed down a little bit. So where are you at on the spectrum right now?
Right now, between 254 and 257. I don't want to go any higher than that. You know, yeah. I found out coming in the league and going through the things that I've been through, trying to gain weight and finding out that you don't need to be big to play in the league. You just need to be strong. And at my position, you don't really find a lot of guys over, you know, 260 pounds playing in this defense, playing the position that I play. So right around 250, 255 is where I want to be. But I'm going to make sure I'm as strong as I possibly can be.
Where do you see that your game has grown in your 3 years, I think? There's been no shortage of obstacles given the amount of systems you've had to learn, coaches you've had to learn from. Like we talked about where your body's at, where you're playing, what your role is. But there's still been growth and knowledge, you know, both mentally and physically in your game. And so where do you feel like you're at? Where do you feel like you've grown?
You know, my biggest knock coming out of the combine was playing against the run. And I just – since after my rookie year, I kind of embraced that. And I just – took it personal, you know, when a team tried to run the ball to me, you know, knowing that I wasn't really the strongest guy, really the biggest guy, and they thought that they could overtake me and get the edge. But I just really tried to, you know, do all that I can to master playing the run. And I still have a long way to go, but, you know, having Coach Johnny Holland now, and he's really just preaching now to me, using my hands and getting guys up off me, you know, shedding and making the play, not only setting the edge, but making the play also. So that's where I feel like my game has grown the most.
And that's got to be a good feeling because you came in here where it's like, right, this guy can't play the run.
I was a string bean.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And now I just, like I say, I just take it personal when teams try to run the ball my way. Coach Shanahan knows too. So
yeah.
I'm just ready to battle with our guys in training camp and OTAs.
I love it, man. I mean, how nice is it to have some continuity in the coaching staff? I know you're going to miss Coach Tarver. Great dude that we both really enjoyed getting to know and you specifically working with. But you still got D'Amico Ryans. You still got Johnny Holland that you're working with. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, same core of linebackers and defensive linemen. How much does that help?
It's amazing, you know, with basketball, guys, they talk about chemistry a lot, and it goes hand-in-hand the same way with football. You know, playing with the same guys, you know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and you just play off each other, and that's why I'm so excited to have a more of a enhanced role, you know, pass rushing and things. So, you know, guys like Defoe and Eric and Ronnie Blair and Cassius Marsh, learning, you know, what those guys do well and them knowing what I do well and what we don't do so well, so we can all help each other and coach each other and, you know, rush off of each other.
That's a great segue. You know, there's no secret that this team needs pass rushing help.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whether it comes internally, you bring it in the draft, you bring it in free agency, 30 sacks in a season is not going to do it for a defense that wants to take that next step and be a playoff caliber team. And so when Cassius Marsh re-signed, I had him on the podcast, and he was like, don't sleep on the guys we have here, because continuity takes you so far when you know the strengths and weaknesses of who you're working with and who you're rushing with. Do you feel like, you know, do you feel the same way in terms of the guys that are here? There's a lot of talent, but you just got to make it work in tandem.
Most definitely. I just feel like with my couple years here and last year, I feel like we've put our toe in the water, you know, and we really haven't taken that dive. You know, I just want us to take that dive, and I really feel that we will take that dive in the water, in the deep end, and just don't care. You can swim or not, just go. And we're just going to hit it full steam ahead. And the roster we have now and what Coach Shanahan and John's building is incredible, you know. I'm so excited, man. It's crazy. And with the defense that we have, man, and the guys that we have, I really feel like we should not be out of the top three at the end of the year, man, and in the playoff push to win a Super Bowl.
I think that when you see rookies come into the league, so much of it is learning how to do your job and then just not costing your team plays. You,
right.
You do your job, you're not going to be a liability.
Right.
And then so how do you make that transition into being a playmaker that's going to help your team win games?
It all starts with, you know, your studying habits, how you train, how do you take care of your body, man. It all goes hand in hand. You can't just come to work and think that everything is going to be handed to you, because this is not high school, this isn't college. You could get away with it then. Now you're playing against grown men, so and guys who've been in the same position for years. You look at a guy like Joe Staley. How many years he been in the league playing the same exact position on the same exact side of the field? Like, guys like him, you have to prepare and you know, be so strategic and be so well-rounded in your game and studying and things like that. I feel like that's the biggest thing coming in the league. Like you said, rookies, everyone's saying, okay, is this guy going to bust? You're worried about what the media is saying about you, all these things, and you get so caught up in that that you're not even taking your job as serious as you should. And it took me a few years to learn that, but I feel like I'm at a perfect position now that I know what I need to do and I know what I need to do to get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
So. Yeah. John Lynch was talking at the Combine. He had a lunch with some of the local beats, and he was discussing, obviously, that, you know, you got to have pass rushing help, but look at a guy like Eli. He named you as someone who really could have an opportunity to do some things this year. You really made a name for yourself last year as a Sam linebacker, which Coach Saleh said over and over isn't necessarily a flashy position that's going to produce in terms of numbers. But I also had a conversation with Jason Tarver, and he said, watch Eli set the edge. He's one of the best in the league. But other conversations I've had, he's got some untapped potential as a pass rusher. So do you embrace that potential of having that Sam Leo role, whether, you know, you're setting the edge on early downs, you stuff the run, all of a sudden you're pinning your ears back and getting after it?
Yeah, I embrace it. You know, coming out of college, that was my thing, you know. My defensive coordinator, you always used to pick on me and tell me, hey, you're getting all these sacks, but when are you gonna help us in the run game? Blah 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 blah.
Now it's the opposite.
Right. And it's so funny because I feel like in my first few years in the league, I was kind of handcuffed. I'm not going to call any names, but a couple of guys that I was with, I feel like really hindered me in a way that I didn't trust myself anymore. I was in the dumps. I really didn't – I lost the love of the game, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like last year, you know, having conversations with Coach Tarver and – you know, because he's been my position coach for my first 3 years, and now he's not. But having conversations with him, I let him know that, yo, like, I just feel like I can't do it anymore. Like, I feel like in the past these guys told me so many things, and it really got to me, and it really hindered my game. And that's why I just embraced playing the run, because I feel like I couldn't do this anymore. But I woke up and realized that that's not the case. And Coach Saleh really, and Coach Z and Tarver and Coach Johnny Holland now, those guys really got, I feel like I got my mojo back. mentally, and I just can't wait for this year to begin, man. I really can't.
What helped you get that mojo back?
Really finding myself again and knowing that I was here. I'm here for a reason. I wouldn't be here if I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And so many people believe in me. You know, my family and my friends and my teammates and the coaches. And when you got so many people on your side, how can you fail? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I let so many people down, and I'm so motivated internally that I feel like I got a lot of stuff to let go and things that I've yet to be able to do on the field.
How much of that has to do with, you can tell the trajectory of this team and this defense and the confidence of the overall locker room is on the up. That can't help. You know, I can't imagine that does it, you know, anything but help your own confidence.
Dude, that's, like I said, man, this is a once in a lifetime like feeling for me, because in college I played on some bad teams, man. Like year after year, 4 wins, 2 wins, 5 wins. And I left my junior year. I just told myself, like, this, I cannot withstand this, yo. Like, I cannot stand losing anymore. But finally having and seeing, like, the way we ended that year and with Jimmy and all these guys, these new acquisitions, I'm so excited. Like, I cannot.
You give me goosebumps over here, man.
I'm so excited right now. Like, I can't even express. I don't have any words for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing feeling. I feel like we're gonna make it pretty far.
And it's wild, dude, because again, we came in literally within weeks of each other, and it started bad. It got worse.
You've seen it.
It got worse.
We were here together, right?
And it went to rock bottom.
Right.
And so you know
rock bottom.
You know what that's like.
Yeah.
And you know, Kyle and John get here, and it feels like it's the right hire. It feels like they have a plan in place that's gonna make things work, but you understand that, you know, the word process is probably overused, but it's going to be a process, and you're going to have a certain degree of patience, which in your case, that sucks after 3 tough years. All of a sudden, you look 1 calendar year later,
dude,
into their second offseason, and everything, it's a complete 180.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Like, the moves that they've made and the coaches that we have on this staff, man, it's crazy. And I'm excited to work with Coach Holland and Miko and Z and Coach Kiffin, and it's crazy, man, because I've never really been in a system for more than 1 year, man.
Yeah.
Like, not even in college. I've done it one time in my football playing career, so I'm excited, man.
I want to ask you about 2 guys before I let you go. One, just how nice was it as a guy on the roster to just see Jimmy G get locked up immediately?
Dude.
Where there's no Kirk Cousins 2 years of franchise tag. What's going to happen? There's so much uncertainty. How are the negotiations going? It's done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Let's move on about our business and go win football games.
Knowing that you have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback is ridiculous. And I've never been a part of that. And a guy like Richard Sherman saying that played a big part in him coming here takes the cake. I mean, what else do anyone need to hear?
Yeah.
Like, that's just unbelievable. Arguably the best cornerback since 2011 is now 7 years later, and he's still on top of his game. It's crazy, man.
And then Defoe. How good is Defoe?
Defoe,
I mean, it's a generic one, but, like, it just feels like as good as he is and as much as he's respected, I feel like he's still underappreciated.
He's definitely underappreciated. I've seen that guy work. We've trained together for months. We've been on the same team a couple of years now. He's definitely going to be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. That's his new nickname. That's what he goes by now, if you guys didn't know that.
What?
DPOY.
DPOY.
That's his new nickname in the weight room, and that's what everyone calls him. And he's just unbelievable, the way he runs, the way the guy jumps. I mean, everything we do training-wise, he's doing it with the DBs. He can break dance. The guy can – what can't this guy do? And I just feel like he has a lot of stuff that he's yet to be able to let go to. So it always happened like that. Like, 1 year, a guy just explodes, and from then on out, he's on top of the world.
Man, I love it. You had a pop culture tweet the other night. Not a fan of Batman versus Superman. I'm with you. Why can't DC get itself together? Because Marvel is smoking them out the building.
Dude, Marvel is the greatest franchise.
I mean, I do feel bad because we got to riff on this for a quick second because I do feel bad that I think Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale ruined Batman Forever. That trilogy, even as good as these Marvel movies are, in The Dark Knight, I don't think I'll ever witness a better superhero movie. But that bar was set so high that Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and all of them.
I feel
incredibly
like
underwhelming.
If you look at all the Marvel movies, they are great. They're good movies. I mean, they're great movies, but they always leave a little bit for that next movie.
Yeah.
Like, after watching Black Panther,
yeah,
knowing that Infinity War, can you imagine what that movie is going to, like, that movie is going to stop traffic. Like, it's going to be amazing. And I feel like with DC, The Dark Knight will never be top. Like, they will never have another movie that will come close to that. And I feel like what Marvel does, they don't fill their bucket up every movie. And they leave a little bit more for the next movie.
And you know what Marvel has mastered is they have casted their superheroes so well.
Yeah.
I mean, to perfection. Yeah. Can you imagine anyone else playing Iron Man than Tony Stark?
No.
Absolutely not. And so even the bad ones where you're like, that wasn't that good, but you're like, I was entertained. I laughed a few times. There was some cool CGI. And like, you know, was Iron Man 2 and 3 my favorite movies ever? Not really, but like, I was entertained. Ant-Man's kind of silly, but Paul Rudd's hysterical.
Right.
So like, I'm sold. Like,
right.
He's a comedian. I'm good with it.
Like,
I'll walk away from Batman vs. Superman. Like, that was a waste of my time.
Dude, I fell asleep. It was so bad. That movie, it was so bad. It was a waste of money, man. And I'm a movie goer. I go twice every weekend, and that's my thing. That's me and my wife's thing. We watch movies. We love movies. Rotten Tomatoes need to sign me up and pay me.
Exactly. I live and die by Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah,
by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Live and die. And I only go audience score. I don't care what the critics have to say.
Yeah.
I go by audience score.
Yeah.
Eli, it's exciting week. First week of free agency. Sherm's already in the house. We got the Jet, Jerick McKinnon, and then Weston Richburg. You excited to have some new faces in here and continue this team on their goal of becoming a playoff caliber team once again?
Yeah, man. I'm excited. You know, it always takes time getting to know new guys, but I'm sure these guys are going to fit in so well, especially Richard Sherman. He's a seasoned vet, a guy who I've definitely looked up to. And then the Jet, that guy's amazing, man. The stuff that he does, it's ridiculous. You know, me and Stephon Diggs are real good friends, and I feel like they're the same guy in a different body playing a different position. And it's just electrifying players, man. I haven't really, because with Weston, he didn't play when we played against him last year, but I'm sure he's a spectacular, dynamic player too, and I'm sure that John Lynch did not make a mistake. So,
Eli, you're getting me hyped for the season, man. And I'm sure fans who listen to this are going to get hyped for the season, man. I appreciate you chatting, sitting down, and as always, a good time talking with you, man. Appreciate the insight, and thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.